The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God.
Hey, I want to hear from you. Would you consider emailing me? You can reach me at greg@harvest.org. Again, that's greg@harvest.org. And you can also make me one of your friends on Facebook and drop me a comment. We want to finish this race of life well. Ecclesiastes 7:8 says, finishing is better than starting.
As we all know, victory is determined at the finish line, not the starting blocks. Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie helps us keep our eye on the prize.
Doesn't matter if you start well. It matters if you finish well. And here's the key. You're looking to Jesus. So I think what we really need right now is we need vision.
This is the
Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie brings a message to help us finish well in this race of life. But first, Pastor Greg, it's hard to get our minds off of what's going on around us, you know. But the Lord doesn't want us to be anxious, does he?
Yeah, that's right, Dave. You know, the Bible says don't worry about anything or be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. And the peace of God that passes all human understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So let's try to get perspective. You know, one thing that I've shared with folks as we're facing this pandemic called coronavirus together is, number one, we need to be practical. Follow the guidelines of the CDC. Number two, we need to be prayerful. Let's be calling on the Lord to arrest and turn this virus away. And thirdly, we need to be proclaiming, that is, telling others about Jesus. And fourthly, we need to have perspective. Just be reminded of the simple fact, God is still on the throne. The Lord is in control, and we're going to get through this together.
Yeah, all right, that's good encouragement. And a reminder, there's so much more good encouragement online, including an intimate weekend worship experience with Pastor Greg called Harvest at Home, found at harvest.org. Check it out. Well, Pastor Greg begins his message now, practical encouragement from chapter 12 of Hebrews.
Let's read Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let's lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I'll come back to that word endurance and talk about it. Looking unto Jesus, oh, I'd underline that too, that's the key. The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and now has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. We'll stop there. Let me ask you a question. Am I talking to somebody today that is worried and discouraged in their soul? Maybe as you look back at 2019, there was a major setback spiritually. Maybe you even fell in a significant way. Or maybe you find yourself discouraged or spiritually lethargic and you need a jump start. You're thinking, how do I get back on track? How do I get into the race? What is the secret to running and winning the race of life? Well, I'll tell you what the motive is, and then I'll reveal some secrets or some hacks, if you will, in running this race well. The secret, and I'll loop back to this, is Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. The key is to look to him, bringing us to point number two. We need to run this race to win. We need to run this race to win. Verse 2, let us run. Since we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, great examples, let's run this race. Over in 1 Corinthians 9:24, Paul says, remember, in a race, everyone runs. Only one person gets the prize. You must run in such a way that you will win. But listen to this. Point number 3, to win the race of life, you need to run light. To win the race of life, you need to run light. Look at verse 1. Let's lay aside every weight and this sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You don't want excess baggage in the race of life. Look at the things in your life. Look at things that you do and ask yourself this question. Is this speeding me on my way, or is this slowing me down? Is this building me up spiritually, or is it tearing me down? Or another way to look at it, is this thing a wing or is it a weight? Point number 4, Christians who want to win the race of life run hard. They run hard. Verse 2, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The word that the author here uses for endurance is from the Greek word hupomone. Now, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right, but I've had many people tell me how to pronounce it. I went to a few websites looking at the pronunciation. One website says hupomone. Another website says ipomone. Another website says hupomone. I don't know. I'm just going to call it true grit. Spiritual grit. Determination. I was speaking with David Jeremiah on the phone the other day, and he asked me what I was speaking on. I mentioned it was Hebrews 12, and he says, oh, I just read a great book. It's called Grit. And he explained to me that the author of the book is the daughter of a scientist who frequently noted her lack of genius. She began to research why people succeed in life. Why do some succeed in life while others don't? This included parents, students, educators, athletes, business people. She said the secret she discovered is a special blend of passion and persistence that she calls grit. Grit. So, you know, you may be very intelligent, but you may not have grit. You can have passion, but not persistence. You can have persistence and no passion. So this ipomone or hupomone or however you pronounce it is patient persistence. And guess what? You know where you get this spiritual endurance that you need to run the race of life? You get it from trials and tribulations. Because in James 1, it says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces true grit or ipomone or whatever the word is, so it can have its perfect work and you'll be complete and perfect, lacking nothing. The testing of your faith. So sometimes you might pray, Lord, I want to be stronger in this coming year spiritually. And a trial comes. A hardship comes. You go, whoa, whoa, whoa. I didn't say I want a trial or a hardship. I said, I want to be stronger. The Lord said, exactly. And that's where you're going to get stronger. You see, trials are sort of like God's gym. And God will allow these things so you'll get stronger spiritually. Point number 5, if you want to move forward in this race, you can't look back. You can't look back or live in the past. In Philippians 3:13, Paul says this, one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to the things that are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, when he says to forget, forgetting the things that are behind, it does not mean to fail to remember. It means no longer be influenced by or affected by those things. I read an article about what some people in New York City did on New Year's Eve. Someone brought in a giant shredder, and people were encouraged to bring whatever they wanted out of their life to throw into the shredder. And many showed up, because then they would take all the things that were shredded and put them in a giant garbage truck, and it would drive off with them. One person said, I feel liberated after shoving a photograph of her ex-fiancé and his new girlfriend into the shredder. Another lady sees the opportunity to banish 3 unpleasant thoughts, high cholesterol, her high blood pressure, and her bills. Now, that's kind of fun, but guess what? Shredding your bills will not make your bills go away, right? So I don't have a big shredder for you today, but I have a great Savior who can help you put your sins behind you instead of having you still controlled by them. It's even better. God says, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That does not mean that God is going to have a lapse in memory. It means that he will no longer hold our sin against us. So to forget means we break the power of the past by living for the future. You don't have to be controlled by past failures or sins. One sure way to forget your past is to not repeat your mistakes. Learn from it. Learn from that fall. As I like to say, learn how to fall forward, which simply means if you stumble, okay, I don't want to do that again. So I'm going to remember that very difficult lesson I just learned. That's why Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Very simple statement. Remember Lot's wife. Why should I remember Lot's wife? Well, she, along with Lot, was called out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lord said, leave this wicked city. And what did he tell both of them? Don't look back. And as they were leaving, she looked back. And by the way, that word for looking back in the original language means it was a deliberate, willful stare. Don't look at this. Oh yeah, I'll look at that. And you know, she turned into a pillar of salt. Remember Lot's wife, don't look back. Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So forgetting the things that are behind and pressing forward to the things that are before.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment. Pastor Greg, one of the things radio does best is gives people immediate information.
Yeah.
Well, we're drowning in information right now.
Yes.
But we want to use radio to deliver a dose of hope in the midst of this concerning information, don't we?
Yeah, we really do, Dave. You know, I think of COVID-19 like a storm. And a storm is a beginning and a middle and an end. And we're going to come to the end of this prayerfully very soon. But until that day, I want you to remember something. Jesus is with you in your storm. He's on board your little boat that's being tossed back and forth by the waves of information that can cause a person to panic very easily. And you remember that when the disciples were at sea, the Sea of Galilee actually, and there was a great storm, they called on the Lord who came up on deck and he rebuked the storm. And then he said to them, oh, you of little faith. And so we need to have faith. Listen, faith needs to take the place of fear and prayer needs to take the place of panic. So let's be looking to the Lord right now. And remember this, better to be in a storm with Jesus than anywhere else without him.
Yeah, great reassurance. Well, Pastor Greg continues his message now.
Number 6, to run this race of life well and to finish it well, we need to look to Jesus. And by the way, we want to finish this race well. Ecclesiastes 7:8 says, finishing is better than starting. Doesn't matter if you start well. It matters if you finish well. And so we want to finish this race with joy, as Paul said. And here's the key. You're looking to Jesus. So I think what we really need right now is we need vision. Vision for 2020. Number one, we need vision for our own spiritual life. This means committing ourselves to things that matter. This means opening the Bible every day. Do you do that? Do you open the Bible every day? Will I look at it, an app on my iPad? That's okay. Same thing. Do you look at the Word of God every day? Let it sort of set the course for your day. You show me a person that's having problems spiritually, and I'll show you a person that has closed this book and has been living contrary to it, and then ultimately they reap the consequences of it, and they scratch their head and ask, why is this happening? Hello? Open the book. Don't close the book. Recommit yourself to the study of Scripture. But also, recommit yourself in church. Be an active part of church, not just Sunday morning. Find out areas of need in the church and start serving, because that changes the whole dynamic of attending church, where you have something that you're doing for God's glory, and there's a great joy in helping others. There's a great joy in serving others. And I would encourage you all to ask the Lord to show you what your spiritual gifts are and start developing them and start using them and be involved. You need a vision for your own spiritual life. Secondly, you need a vision for lost people. We need to see non-believers as Christ sees them. And sometimes we'll see non-believers as the enemy. Listen, non-believers are not the enemy. You used to be a non-believer. Some of you may still be, actually. But non-believers are not the enemy. They're under the control of the enemy. The Bible says the God of this world is taking them under his control. So we understand that about them. And we see them as Jesus sees them, as sheep without a shepherd. And we want to see them come to believe in Jesus. Set a goal for this year. Say, this year I want to lead 10 people to Christ. What if I don't meet that goal, Greg? What if I only lead 3 people to Christ? That's okay. That's still good. That's better than zero. That's better than no goal. Look for opportunities to start evangelistic conversations. I bet you, if you would say today, Lord, I want to lead someone to Christ this year, lead me to do that, that you will see results. Would you dare to pray a prayer like that? You'll have to leave your comfort zone, but I think you'll be glad that you did, because one of the greatest joys I know is seeing someone come to Jesus. Hey, how about this? Bring someone that's not a believer to church with you. When's the last time you did that? And we need a vision for our nation and our world. And we've set a lofty goal, haven't we? Wanting to see 100,000 people make a profession of faith in the next 2 years or so. Well, Greg, what if you don't reach that goal? What if you only reach 50,000? It's okay. It's all good. So we're going to do what we can. What if we exceed the goal? It's in God's hands. But through our next crusade, Angel Stadium, and then ultimately, the LA Stadium in 2021, and then the release of the Jesus Revolution film. It's going to reach thousands and thousands of people all around the world. And that is not an exaggerated statement that I just made. I know this factually because my friend John Irwin, who directed I Still Believe and I Can Only Imagine, has told me from the I Can Only Imagine film, they have a number at the end that people can call if they want to give their life to Jesus. He said 100,000 people have called that number. See, it's going to happen. That movie will go places that we'll never go. Someone will watch it on Netflix if it ends up there, or Amazon Prime, or for sure in iTunes or whatever. But people are going to see it. And when it goes in the theaters and then beyond. And so that's what we're praying for. And we all need to be a part of this. We need that vision to kind of lift our eyes up. Jesus said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They're white to harvest. But don't just think of the world. Think of your world. Lift up your eyes and your family. There are people that are ready to come to Jesus. Lift up your eyes in your neighborhood. There are people ready to come to Jesus. Lift up your eyes. There are people in our community ready to come to Jesus. Well, why don't they just come to him? Well, they will, but guess what? God says, how will they hear unless someone preached to them? How beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news of glad tidings. God reaches people through you. You know this. So pray for that vision. So how do we do this? We look to Jesus. That's the key. You keep your eyes on Jesus, and that will keep you going in the race of life. And I'll tell you why that's important. Because things happen that can be discouraging when you follow Jesus, right? People let us down. Life doesn't always go the way that we hoped it would go. Tragedies befall us. There's questions that aren't answered. And we say, I don't know. I don't know if I can keep going. Well, who did you sign up to follow? I don't know about you. I signed up, if you will, to follow Jesus. Jesus has always been what he promised to be for me. He's never failed me once. He's never let me down. And guess what? He's the author and finisher of my faith. That means God finishes what he starts. I'm a procrastinator by nature. I'll start something and not finish it sometimes. I'll clean up a mess and then I'll get right to the end and I'll leave 3 things out. I'll say, I'll get to it later, and that will be the seed for the new mess, right? God doesn't do that. He finishes what he starts. He started a work in your life. He wants to continue it on. But for that to happen, you need to keep your eyes on him. Run the race for him. You need to run the race for him because he ran his race for you. 2,000 years ago, Jesus had his back ripped open by the Roman whip. 39 times he was lashed with it. 2,000 years ago, Jesus picked up that huge cross after he had been whipped and carried it through the streets of Jerusalem. And then they took him to that same cross and they nailed his hands and his feet to it and he hung there. Why did he do it? What kept him going? How could you complete a task like that? The people cried out in unison, "Crucify him! Let his blood be upon us and on our children." His own disciples were largely in hiding. One of his own handpicked friends totally betrayed him, Judas Iscariot. How easily could have said, "I'm done here, people. Nobody apparently understands why I've come for this world and what I'm about to do, so I'm not going to do it." And he would have been justified. But the Bible says, "For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame." What was the joy set before him? You? Me? Us? We were the joy. We were the thing that motivated him. He saw what it would accomplish. Jesus told the story of a shepherd who had 100 sheep. One went astray. How easily the shepherd could have said, "Well, what do you, win a few, lose a few, cost of doing business, I still have 99. No, Jesus said that shepherd left his flock and he searched until he found that wayward lamb and he brought it back in his shoulders rejoicing. And then Jesus said, "And I say to you, there is joy in heaven over one sinner that comes to repentance." So he knew what it would accomplish, and that was the joy that kept him going. So he ran his race for us. We need to run our race for him. Some of you might be saying, "Man, I wish I could forget my past, but it's so bad, and it's haunting me right now." Well, you can be forgiven of your past. The Bible says God requires that which is past. So if you don't ask God to forgive you of your sins, you're going to face the full consequences of your sins. But if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It doesn't say some, it says all. You can make a clean break with your past. You can have your sin forgiven and forgotten. And you can start this year off fresh and new, running this race for Jesus. I like it when it rains. Usually rains right after I wash my car, but a lot of people don't wash their car. What I like about rain is it washes everyone's car if they want it or not. Everything just looks so pretty after it's rained. Birds come back out. Sometimes you might see a rainbow. God can make everything fresh and new in your life right now. Oh, it looks so dark and tangled and messed up. I know, but you don't need a shredder. You need a savior. And if you'll come to him, he'll forgive you. So we're going to pray. We're going to pray. And I'm going to extend, as I always do, and I always will, an invitation for anybody that needs Jesus today, wherever you are. We're going to pray. I'm not going to apply pressure. I'm not going to push you. I'm just going to invite you. And if you want Christ to come into your life and forgive you of your sin, and thus know you're going to heaven, respond to this invitation. And if you need to make a recommitment to him, you can do it right here, right now. Let's all bow our heads and pray together. Father, thank you for loving us so much that you sent Jesus to this earth. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming and being born in that manger in Bethlehem, then living a perfect life and then dying on the cross for our sin and then rising again from the dead. Now we pray that your Holy Spirit will convict and convince any person here or listening, wherever they are, of their need for you. Help them to come to you and believe. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie with an important prayer. And if you'd like to do just that and make a change in your relationship with the Lord, Pastor Greg will help you do that in just a moment before today's edition of A New Beginning concludes. And then Pastor Greg has a word about a brand new resource parents and grandparents are going to love. It's our first opportunity to mention it today.
So we're very happy to be offering this two-book set called Found in Love, written by Sally Lloyd-Jones and Kathy, who's here in studio with me, my wife. It's Easter time. it seems like this is a really good book to give to a child for Easter. What do you think?
Well, yeah, as a grandmother, I'm concerned about all the junk and candy that kids get given at that time in their Easter basket. So I'm always looking for something special to put in their basket. And this would be an amazing gift to give them at Easter time. First of all, there's all kinds of little lambs in the illustrations here, but the book set is so gorgeous. It comes in this hardcover box, and two hardcover books with included in there is an original keepsake print, which shows a shepherd holding a cuddling a little lamb in his arms. So this is perfect at Easter time. But can I also just say a word to those of you that are just looking to give somebody a sweet gift anyway? Adult, child, whatever age, you are going to find this book will be a special way to minister to somebody who needs to know that they are loved and found by God. I've read it. It has spoken to my heart. It's something that I want to reread and think about, because these two books are based on Psalm 23 in the Lord's Prayer. Two very, very familiar passages, so familiar that we don't even hear the words anymore.
I think that's true.
This is a way to hear it with fresh ears and to welcome it into your heart in a new way. So adults or children alike are going to appreciate this book. And at Easter time, hey, stick it in your Easter basket.
Excellent idea.
Yeah, we'll be happy to send this outstanding resource your way to thank you for your donation to help us continue to reach out with this program each day here on A New Beginning. It's two hardcover books in a durable storage box, along with a keepsake print. And if you'd like to receive Found and Loved by Easter, April 12th, be sure to call us for information on expedited shipping options. Our number is 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or you can write us at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or go online to harvest.org. Well, Pastor Greg, today you wrapped up your message by talking about eternity.
Yeah.
How can someone listening know that they're going to heaven?
Well, that's a great question. And I guess, let me take it a step further. I know that is the most important question you can ask. How can a person know they're going to heaven? Let me say at the outset, I believe I'm going to heaven. In fact, I'll take it a step further. I know I'm going to heaven. You say, Greg, isn't that kind of arrogant? Not really. Because I know this because God has made a promise to me, and I've believed that promise. The Bible says, we write these things to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. I've believed on the name of the Son of God. Thus I know I'll go to heaven when I die. Here's my question to you. Do you believe on the name of the Son of God? Is there any more important issue than that? I can't think of one. So I'd like to lead you in a simple prayer. And this is a prayer where you will be asking Jesus to forgive you of your sin, and you'll be asking him to be your own Savior, friend, Lord. It's a prayer only you can pray. Pray these words if you would. Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner, but I know that you are the Savior who died on the cross for my sin and rose from the dead. Jesus, come into my life. I want to believe in you. I want to follow you. I want this relationship with you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sin and rising again from the dead. And I thank you that you've heard this prayer. And I believe you've come into my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to help you grow in your faith. I want to help you grow spiritually. So I have a free gift for you. It's called the New Believer's Growth Packet. What's in it? No, not a bag of seeds to plant in your backyard. I guess it's sort of a form of a bag of seeds, because I want to sow some spiritual seed in your life to help you develop as a follower of Christ. So I'm going to send you a copy of the New Testament in the New Living Translation, but it's a special edition. It's called the New Believer's Bible, and it's filled with notes that I wrote that will encourage you in this new commitment or recommitment you've made to Christ. And there's some other materials in the New Believer's Packet as well. So order your copy today. And I'm so glad I had this privilege today to lead you in that prayer. God bless you. You've made the right decision, the decision to follow Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and here's how to get that New Believer's Packet. Just write us at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514 or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org and click the words Know God.
You know, Easter is the perfect opportunity to bring someone to church that does not yet know the Lord. But here's the big difference this year. We're going to do it all online. That's right. Easter is coming to you, to your house, to your tablet, to your phone, wherever you want to view it. Just go to harvest.org to find out more. Let's work together to reach the largest group of people we have ever been able to make contact with this coming Easter. It's Harvest Easter Online.
Next time, we consider the life of Enoch, the man who walked with the Lord and was not, the Bible says, because the Lord took him, walked with the Lord straight into heaven. We'll learn about the importance of walking faithfully with the Lord next time on A New Beginning.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.